This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Mary, Did You Know?
One of the things we learned this morning is everybody's got a story. They're not the only ones. Everybody has their cross to bear. We all have our good parts. We have our tough parts, our bad parts. Places where we need to learn, rough roads, smooth roads. Thank you for sharing yours with us. Appreciate what you do. God bless you all. You're on a journey. Last week, we gained some lessons from probably one of the least known individuals in the scripture. You may remember we talked about Simeon, who had visions that one day before he died, he'd get to see the Messiah. And that happened for him. This morning, continuing in this looking at characters in the scripture, every one of them turns out to be somebody we can learn from. This morning, we're going to look at the life of probably the best known person in and around the Christmas account, and that's Mary, Jesus' mother. What can we learn from her life? There are 19 references to Mary in the New Testament. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, up here on PowerPoint. And let's stand together as I read the text for the morning. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know no man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Key verse. For with God, what? Nothing shall be what? Impossible. Do you believe that? Nothing is impossible with God. Thank you. May be seated. Mary, like her fiancé, soon-to-be husband Joseph, is a descendant of royalty. But they haven't gained anything. Their ancestor is King David. They have no notoriety. They didn't get any money out of the deal. They're just like you and me, just ordinary, average people with a history. In a day of gender inequality, Mary and Joseph are equals in their family tree, and their family tree is one of poverty. Mary lived in Nazareth, a nothing town on the border of a heathen Gentile world. Theirs was a normal working class life with all the usual routines, but all of that was about to change. Just going along like we do, plodding along, taking up the things that we do in our normal day-to-day activities, and all of a sudden a major event occurs. Haven't you had that kind of a situation in your life? Life is just going along day by day. The routine seems to be going all of a sudden. Crash. Some big event comes that maybe changes your whole life, or at the very least changes your day in a big way. It's not every day that you're visited by an angel. But while Mary is about her chores, there he is. All of a sudden, he's standing there. What would you react when you saw that? What is this? Who is this? What's he doing in my house? But Mary meets the angel Gabriel, and he's carrying a message from God. Verse 39, he says, Hail, hello. Thou art highly favored among women. The Lord has seen that you are blessed. and you are blessed among women. In a day when women are neither highly favored nor esteemed, this greeting meant something. It meant to elevate. It meant to express value. It was meant to raise the dignity and esteem of the person to whom these words are spoken. And what was her reaction? I'm terrified. I'm scared. Is he talking to me? I'm nobody. I'm worse than a nobody. I'm a sinner. And he's telling me I'm highly favored by the Lord. And then Gabriel comes along, and a way, I guess, angels have, he calmed her fears. And then he delivers this life-changing message in verse 31. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. Can you imagine? Long before they had these techniques of being able to determine the gender, the sex of a child, you're going to have a son. We're going to give you his name. His name is going to be Jesus. And the verse goes on, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom shall never end. In verse 34, Mary asked the question, how can this happen? This is not a natural thing you're telling me about. I don't have intimate relationships with any guys. I haven't had those kinds of relationships that would net themselves in a pregnancy. And the angel hears that, understands that, and he answers, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby will be born in you, will be called the Son of God. In verse 37, he says, for nothing is impossible with God. Now that seems pretty impossible to me. What about you? And I'm sure it felt pretty impossible to her. But she's no longer afraid. She's no longer confused. She says, I am the Lord's servant. And she says, whatever it is that God wants to do in my life, let it happen. Have you said that in your life? Whatever God wants to do with my life, I'm willing to submit. I'm willing to give in to what he wants for me. We are such a stubborn people. We want what we want. If we're sitting in the line at McDonald's and they're not fast enough, we're already upset. We got something in Italian called agita. Is there an Italian in our midst? This innocent teenager, and she was, estimates are that she was around 18 years old or so, she still faces many challenges going forward, even though she's going to submit to the Lord. We submit to the Lord, and sometimes the challenges are just beginning. You've given yourself over to Jesus and you think, well, that's it. I'll never sin again. I'll never have any more problems. That comes from the pit of hell. That is such a lie that the devil wants to perpetrate on you and me. That once you got saved, no more problems. Can I tell you this? Once you got saved, a lot more problems. Because you're not just dealing with the old person, the old man, the old woman that you were, who could care less whether you sinned or not, didn't even know what sin meant. Now that you're a believer, you recognize the things that you're doing that are right, the things that you're doing that are wrong, the things that you're doing that are godly, and the things that you're doing that are not. And that builds a tension in us, Paul talked about. The things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, those are the things I wind up doing. That's the plight of every believer. That's where we are. So it doesn't get better. It's a lifelong lesson in how to cope with these things and how to be victors and overcomers. In her mind, I imagine she's thinking, what if nobody believes what just happened to me? What if they don't believe this account that I've just experienced? What if my fiancé abandons me? If he does, who am I going to be? I'm going to face life as a poverty-stricken single mom with an illegitimate child. That's nothing unusual in today's society, but it was pretty much in that society, in a religious Jewish culture. Sexual promiscuity back then was punishable under religious laws. You could be stoned. She'd be an outcast in her own community. Her family would be disgraced. These are all the things probably going through her mind. And meanwhile, she's made this vow, she's made this pledge, she's made this commitment, she's made this decision, I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. And then the doubts begin to come. These are overwhelming issues, each with serious consequences. And what's Mary's attitude? Here's the reality in Luke 1:47. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. There is some deep-seated joy inside of her despite the obstacles. For us, sometimes when the obstacles occur, that's when we fall flat on our face. Sometimes we face them with anger. Sometimes we're angry with God. Sometimes we're disappointed. Sometimes we just feel like we want to throw in the towel. But she says, I'm going to find, in the fact that the Holy Spirit is going to be with me, I'm going to find a way to rejoice about this situation. I'm not going to become a victim of this. I'm not going to let myself be stepped on by people. I'm not going to be paying attention to what the community says or what people think of me. I'm going to tell the account of what God has done in my life, and I'm not going to be ashamed of what God wants to do going forward. Here and hers is a confidence born out of a daily walk with God. This is not the kind of a thing that you go into the shul on Sabbath, you visit the synagogue, and that's it. That's the extent of your religious life, of your relationship with God. You can't develop this kind of Christian character by being a Sunday morning Christian and put Christ in the back burners of your life the rest of the week. That's what too many people are doing. That's what too many Christians are doing today. We speak one way and we live another way. We come here, and then when we leave, we get back to our old way of living. Christian character develops by first receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then it's a daily spiritual growth. It's an intimate prayer life. It's a study and meditation on God's Word. It's connecting each week with other believers in the church. If you're outside of the church, you know, since COVID, many people have opted to stay home from church. Now, of course, many people can watch, many people can listen over the telephone, but there's no substitute for being surrounded by your brothers and sisters in Christ and embracing one another in Jesus' name. It's a lifelong process in the school of continuing Christian studies that is lived out in life's proving ground. What's the church? This is life's proving ground. When you get outside the doors of this place, you're entering a mission field. That's what it says across the top of the doors there. How are you going to do that unless your batteries are charged? How are you going to do that unless you've been challenged? In her relatively short life, Mary had developed a deep faith with deep roots in the things of the Lord. As we trace Mary's life through the Old Testament, the New Testament, we discover she'll need all the strength, all the courage, and all the peace her faith in God can provide. In addition to the blessing of bearing the Christ child, Mary is blessed with a godly husband. What a wonderful thing to be married to a godly husband or a godly wife. Matthew 1:18-25 tells us that Joseph has been given the same news about the miraculous birth from an angel and is now a faithful partner in God's plan. All the wealth of the world cannot be compared with a happy family life, and not everybody has a happy family life. And the number of people in this country that are living in a traditional family setting is down below 20%. It's unbelievable. There was a recent article that came out of the Salt Lake City News, and this is what it said about the nation and about families. The health and well-being of children depends on having stable married parents. Kids born to a single mom are more prone to poverty, drugs, and single motherhood than are children of traditional families. That's what they said. Probably true. Joseph, Mary, and the soon-born baby are a family, and they're together. They will face life with its joys, disappointments, challenges, and heartbreaks. And this family is going to have so many challenges and heartaches. And I want to share some of them. Challenge? Here was a challenge. Joseph and pregnant Mary travel to Bethlehem, their hometown, to register for higher taxes. I don't know which is the challenge, being pregnant and traveling on a donkey or expecting higher taxes. Something. Then they have joy, just the opposite end. Mary gives birth to the baby Jesus, and they watch the world come to worship him. From a lowly stable where shepherds come and visit, to the most elite people in the world, kings come and visit them. Scientists come and visit them. They have another challenge. when they hear the warning that the angel of the Lord tells them to flee and go to Egypt because there is going to be a state-sponsored mass murder of little children, especially boys, because the king is looking for the Messiah, who says he's going to be king of Israel. And then they have an experience of disappointment as Mary and Joseph watch their children. Can you believe this? The children of Mary and Joseph reject their brother Jesus, reject his preaching, reject his proclamation that he is the Messiah. And it isn't long before that doubt spreads through their entire community. Mary's heartbroken as she watches the man who 33 years earlier was growing up as a life in her womb stand before a mock trial. She hears crowds shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And yet she knows beyond a shadow of a doubt, she's lived with this man. He's never done anything wrong. Jesus was the only person that graced this planet who never sinned. Do you believe that? He never sinned because if he had sinned, he could not be the sacrifice for your sin and mine. He had to be a spotless lamb to take away the sins of the world. Mary is also heartbroken as she hears the whips crack across and beat across her son's body and tear the flesh from his bones. And then she watches him crawl through the streets of Jerusalem with a cross on his back where he will be crucified. And then she experiences agony as she sees the nails being driven through his hands and his feet. And then she hears him draw his final breath. She no longer has the strength and comfort of her husband Joseph, who has probably died prior to this event. So where did Mary get her inner strength? It came the first Christmas. Luke 2:19 says, "But Mary kept all these things and hid them in her heart." She pondered them in her heart. She remembered people coming and worshiping Jesus as the Messiah. She knows what it means to stand in his presence in a temple as a young boy, giving wisdom to intellects, giving wisdom to educated people, giving wisdom to lawyers and rabbis and great teachers. He was smarter than all of them together. What Mary experienced that first Christmas, the things that she saw and the things that she heard would last forever for her. Mary miraculously gave birth to God in the flesh, not only the Savior of the world, he was her Savior as well. The transformative truth that changed her life can change our life as well. I don't know about you, but we heard from these fellows this morning that their lives were changed when they came to Jesus Christ. Can I tell you my life was changed when I came to Jesus Christ as a young boy? Can you say amen to that? Was your life changed? Do you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that your life has changed? That once you could care less about God, once you never thought about Jesus, maybe you used Jesus' name as a curse. But when Jesus came and you met Jesus and you decided to believe this book and follow the man who is prophesied to become the Messiah and then became the Messiah and soon will come back and reign again, when you promise to follow that person, your life is changing. You're in the process of being transformed. It's not over until it's over, amen? You're going to struggle. Mary struggled. We'll struggle. Some verses that we can glean from her life and the text we just read. In Luke 1:28, we learn that regardless of who you are, in God's eyes, you have great value. You're somebody to God. You may be nobody to everybody else. You may be less than somebody to somebody else, but in God's eyes, you have value. Your life is precious. Luke 1:31, life in the womb is sacred and precious. That's why we stand up for life, not just life in the womb, but life. We believe that life is sacred because Jesus came into the world to save each and every one of us. You're worth something to God. You're valuable to God. Don't let people tear you down. Don't let people define you. Find your value, find your worth, find the truth of who you are in God's word. And what you're going to find is that God loves you so much that Jesus gave up his life for you. Luke 1:35, miracles still happen. How many of you believe that miracles still happen? How many of you have ever been miracled? I know. Some of us have been through a couple of cancers, and we feel like we've been miracled. Luke 1:37, with God, nothing is impossible. Things are impossible when we're on our own, but where we're in Christ and when we're following the Savior, nothing is impossible when God has given you His will and His plan and you're following it. His will and His plan for your life. There's no better place than that. Luke 1:38, the only place to be in life is in God's will. Where do I find God's will? You find it in the book. Where do you find God's plan? You find it every day of your life as God begins to use circumstances to mold you and shape you and direct your feet and move you forward. You came to Teen Challenge. I'll tell you, you came to Teen Challenge not by accident. You came to Teen Challenge because it was God's plan that you go there to find salvation, to find strength. You're here this morning, not by accident. You're here because you're in fellowship with brothers and sisters. You're here to be encouraged. You're here to be challenged. You're here to be lifted up, and you're here to hear these fellows share the truth of what God's done in their life. Luke 2:16, God honors and blesses marriage and the family. Again, this is a day and age when the family is not number one in the country. And you need to know that when the family is destroyed, the country is to follow. You cannot have the kind of a country that has any kind of values that are lasting without the family. If the family cannot succeed, the nation cannot succeed. Luke 2:10-14. Circumstances may not be fair, but God is good all the time. You believe that? Circumstance, listen, you're going to go through things in life that the circumstances are not going to change. It's going to be the way it's going to be, but the question is, what are you going to do about it? If the circumstance can't change, then you can believe this, that you can change. You can change how you go through it. You can change how you handle it. You can change what God's going to do when you come out the other end. So if your circumstance can't change, ask God to change you. Give you patience. Give you encouragement, help you have visions of the future. This is not where it ends. You may be going through a hard time right now and you may wish it would disappear, but it's not. Remember, eventually it's going to disappear. Remember, all of this is going to change when you're in heaven. And that's the ultimate destination. That's our ultimate hope. That's our ultimate expectation, that one day we'll be serving the Lord in heaven. And all of these problems will be gone for sure, forever. So, question. Mary, did you know? And the answer is, yes, you did. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for your precious love. We thank you, Father, that we're not alone in this world. We thank you, Lord, you've given us a story of endurance, of unconditional love, of compassion and a passion for souls. I just pray your blessing upon everyone listening to today's testimonies and today's message, Lord. Help us to find something to lift us up, encourage us, and challenge us. And then, Lord, with that thought in mind, let us go forth and put our faith and trust in you. Help us to reach the people in our sphere of influence for Christ. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.